Hello guys, it's me, Future Dominic. Regarding the quality of this episode, I promise, this is not symbolic of the other episodes. If this is the first time you're watching this, just know that the peaks, the level, and everything in between is a byproduct of me not looking at the damn mixer. So if you're wondering why the audio is constantly peaking, it's because of that. But trust me, this episode is quite a riot. It's quite fun. I think it's pretty fun. I think it's a pretty fun episode. We're analyzing visual novels. What else would you want, really? Anyway, I just wanted to let you know that. From me to you, viewer, you're my favorite viewer. I just want you to know that. Anyway, I love you all, and I'll see you when I see you, man. Life is tough. Yeah. Yeah.
Guys, is this thing on? Is this thing on? Look at those waves. Carissa wasn't wrong. I don't know what's happening. It could be something with Audacity. It could be a lot of things, ladles and germs. But we're back in the studio. Oh, back in the studio for another episode of Independent Incidentals. Round of applause. Rimshot. Yeah! We're back. We're so back, everybody. And I am curious. Is it normal to only get 6.5 hours of sleep every day? Is it normal, you guys? Do you think it's normal? Do you guys think it's a normal thing to only get about six and a half hours every day? Because let me tell you, I've been sort of racing against the clock, you might say. Especially with that intro. That was Daniel Korb's Death to Kronos, which is the newest roguelike on the marketplace. It's, I think, on sale for 10% off, or it's absolutely not, and I'm lying. I'm telling you a fib. But I've just been playing Hades 2 for pretty much this entire week. It started with one of my D&D, my Dungeons & Dragons friends telling me that it was finally out. It's been in early access for around, I think, 8 months, maybe, give or take. I forget when it was announced. But now it was out for that long. But a lot of people already have gotten, one of my friends has at least, 200 hours into it. By the way, sorry, I hate to break it to you, but Carissa just broke the news for you that, our final act is not coming today. Of course, they'll be here next week. Abigail is just gonna be, on short notice. We'll get her in next week, don't you worry. I know everyone is upset. I know, but at the same time, I feel like, look, I'm just saying, it's okay. You'll be fine. If you guys don't know, by the way, there's actually 3 shows. If you're not in the know, there's Carissa's show, Bookmarked, which happens from 8 to 9. Then there's my show that happens from 9 to 10. And then there'll be Abigail's show that happens from 10 to 11. She does the after-class show, like I used to do, until I finally ascended. Or I guess descended in some way. Anyway, what was we talking about? Oh, yeah. So basically, my entire life so far has been taken up by just Hades 2, pretty much. Also, by the way, these headphones suck. I'm going to get new ones. 1 second. I think these ones would be better. Hold on. I can't hear myself. That's the problem. I think microphone 1 sucks. I'm pretty sure microphone phone 1's... Yes, microphone 1's problem. All right, fine, fair enough. I guess we're doing this raw, then. I have to just brace myself for my own voice when it comes to playing it back when I finally edit this. Future me, could you play my voice in reverse and make it sound like I'm from the 9 pits of hell, please? Thank you. Appreciate it. Anyway, what are we talking about today? I was able to finally got myself, after much pressuring, to upload a schedule. It's an actual schedule now. We're not just guessing of what we're doing anymore. We're actually giving you what I'm going to do for the entire month. Isn't that crazy, everybody? Isn't that wild? I'm like your fairy godmother, except I'm on the radio, which is pretty much the same thing. And this week, we'll be talking about visual novels and the inscrutable boundaries thereof. Inscrutable is the right word, right? I'm talking about the boundaries of visual novels. What does it mean to you? It seems a bit like word salad, don't get me wrong. Like my title of my show itself. Okay, I gotta stop. But in reality, I think this perfectly articulates the discourse online about what visual novels are in the first place. What is a genre? What is a genre, right? Like, so far, like, the main idea of the show now is I'm gonna either be talking about a genre and how to parse it out, how to navigate it, like I'm Your Beautiful Traveler, or I'll be talking about a specific game, like Hades 2, Silksong, Ultra Kill, those kind of games. You know, like a video game. The genre and the video game. And today, we're talking about visual novels. What the hell is this genre? We have a specific idea in mind about visual novels. If you've been online chronically for your entire life. Character stills, quirky dialogue, text box is always at the bottom of the screen, few other features, which RenPy and a bunch of other game engines have kind of popularized throughout the years. But no, my friend. These are lies. Lies, I tell you! That they feed to your soul to temper and dull it. Visual novels are larger than you may think. In fact, what if I told you that anything that narrates like a story is official. It's official novel. I know I'm breaking your mind right now. Don't shoot the messenger. I'm just speaking the truth. You gotta listen to me, please. We have to go beyond what we think are boundaries of this visual novel genre. And we have to go into new territory. I'm sorry. I hate to burst your bubble. I hate to bring you on this journey. But together, you and me, we can go on an expedition into new territory. What am I talking about specifically? So, we have four games that I've collected over the course of the past couple months. Some of them I played during summer, some of them I played more recently. And I made something to distinguish them all, because there's these two games. Let me just give you a quick rundown of what I'm talking about. So, there's one specific game that my friend Kai recommended to me. And I was like, a visual novel game that's an actual visual novel? I'm not replaying that. And then I get engrossed with the characters. What do you expect from me? I'm just that kind of beast. This one is called Our Life. It's a visual novel dating game that follows the main character, your own customizable character, that grows up with a boy across the street in a small beach town. What makes it interesting is that no matter what choice you make, no matter what relationship you wish to form with this cove, the boy in question, the one that lives across the street, it never gives you a right or wrong answer. This specific quality of a video game kind of made me spiral out. And I'm like, okay, if you can decide the pace, if you can give the distance you can want to give with this person, if you want to make the perfect relationship with Cove, then what is Disco Elysium? Which is another game that I specifically referenced earlier, which I probably will eventually get up online, hopefully soon. I'm going through the backlog of different edited episodes, but compared to Disco Elysium, Our Life is so accepting of who you are, right? It has such a charming, beautiful atmosphere. You're on a beach, you can stretch out your limbs, you can be the person you want to be. And Disco Elysium just completely ridicules who you want to be. It completely makes fun of you. It doesn't give you the light of day. These two games are at complete opposite ends of a spectrum. But what kind of spectrum, you may ask? Well, it's not a spectrum. It's a 2D plane. We're getting mathematical in this, everybody. Ladles and germs. We're getting so mathematical. I shall now present to you the visual novel alignment chart. I actually gotta put my headphones on this because I gotta use the soundboard. Thank you. Yeah. This is what Elon Musk must feel when he's presenting the brain chip that destroys the humanity. That must be so cool. Anyway, the visual novel alignment chart. What are the axes, you might say? What? How do you define this, right? I divide it into four quadrants, right? And we're going to start with the verticality, because that's going to be the hardest one to understand. So you can chew on it while I talk about the easier one afterwards. The vertical axis is player agency. I couldn't find better words to describe what I mean in one word, but this category can be summed up in one question. Does this game provide a loss state in which the game points at its metaphorical finger at you and laughs at you? Strangely, This is the only substantial difference between Elysium and Our Life in the way it's narrated. Or rather, how the narrator tells you the story. Our Life provides a streamlined, sort of laissez-faire attitude towards your choices. If you want intimacy, romance, friends, indifference, they're all on display here. You can pick whatever you want. If you want to start out your life with Cove and you want to live forever for 100 years until you die, that's up to you. But in Elysium, it's not the same. The voices in your head are constantly mocking your choices, whether that be ridiculing you for choosing to be on the left or the right, choosing you to either side with specific groups or be allied against them. Even when you're succeeding, even when you have good stat points, which we'll get to in a moment, it pulls you out of reality and makes you kind of deluded in a way, right? Even if you start succeeding, you always fail, which is the exact antithesis to what Our Life is. Of course, while you're chewing on that kind of hard crumb, we can't forget the horizontal axis, which is aesthetics. What does the setting, characters, general narrative genre invoke in the reader slash player? There are two sliding scales in this respect, and they aren't necessarily beholden to the genre itself, rather the way it packages that genre. For example, a romance can exist in a cute, fun setting as much as it can survive in a brutal, cold, and careless world. So we have two general alternatives to this too. Cute, quote-unquote, and gritty. Does the world speak of fantasy, wonder, amusement, infinite possibilities? Or does it speak of decay, sadness, abandonment? Like you're out in the cold, like the piece is already there for the player to put together. Or were they left... I'm losing my mind here, by the way. This is like the mumblings of a madman, but I need to tell you this because this is important for you to know. You gotta know this, everybody. Ladies and germs, I'm sorry. This is important information. If you don't harness this information, then it'll be lost on you forever. It's too good. It's too good. So, are the pieces already there for the player to put the pieces together? Can you just do your own thing, knit your own tapestry? Does it feel like the world is free? Or are they left to the side of the curve begging for scraps while their family starves? It's your choice, you masochist sicko. How could you? Anyway, let's talk about Our Life first, because I think this game is simple enough to understand, but also has a lot of good impact. It has a lot of meat on the bone. I'll be surprised. I'm honestly surprised. If you know anything about these Renpai games, they are either like the most generic game ever that just kind of takes place in whatever slice of life, or they kind of expand on the genre and give you a lot more freedom of choice or terrifying shock, like in Doki Doki Literature Club. Right now we're talking about the former, so strap in. The narrative of this game, of Our Life, is broken up into acts, which are called steps. Each step takes you into a different phase of your character's life. You start with childhood in step one, then in step two you have teen, then step three you have young adult, and in step four you have adulthood. What's cool beyond the romance aspects of the game is that of the progression of what happens on each step. The art changes to the age of your friends that you make along the way relative to what step you're at. So seeing your parents get old, the friends that you meet becoming like their true selves, fleshing out and discovering new things about them, it's such a treat. Like, I've never seen something done so well like that before. Like, something that you can specifically see, like, yourself and the people around you get older and grow as people. Like, you start as a child, a frothing, disgusting child, and you start picking yourself up, and you start developing this relationship with Cove, which is, in fact, the main focus, no doubt, of the story. You constantly interact with this Cove character throughout the entire summer. Each step has a specific summer moment where you have like a bunch of smaller interconnected moments that allow you to expand your relationship on this character more, and relationship between you and Cove. The game presents itself with a few scenarios which can be viewed in any order and don't truly amount to anything beyond just knowing the characters more. And surprisingly, I was enraptured by a lot of it. I don't normally go out of my way to play a slice of life game like this, but I was honestly It honestly quelled a lot of the outside noise, I'll be honest. Like, you know what was happening then, around early this month, or last month, I guess. And this game kind of tempered me a little bit, allowed me to just kind of refocus and focus on the little things. I enjoyed it a lot, even though I didn't really have that much gameplay or that much, like, you know, extra like gameplay loops that enrapture you more so like Hades 2. But I still enjoyed it. It was a very loving, beautiful experience. I enjoyed it a lot. Like I said, there's no gameplay to speak of. This is unfortunately bereft of any strategy, cards, mana, turn, quick time events, or even guns. How sad, how shameful. Not! How could you? You think that's all the games are? You think you're a real gamer? Dude, I literally beat the final boss of Hades 2 back to back in my third run of the game of what was it? Besides the point, I'm not gonna get into that because that's its own episode. You don't get that yet. That's a little teaser. That's all you get. How could you? Anyway, so that's basically the first game that I'm gonna be talking about today. Where would our life land on this beautiful compass, this beautiful visual novel alignment chart that we talked about earlier? If you don't remember, the vertical axis is player agency. So does the game make fun of you? Does the game give you a specific lost state that you rub your temples and say, "Ooh, dang it, it's making fun of me"? Or is it completely non-judgmental? Does it just allow you to do specifically what you want and allows you to give the exact amount of space you want with the characters? And it, guess what? It's exactly that. The aesthetics are cozy and welcoming because it's literally taking on a place on a beach. It takes place on a beach town. It's the epitome of cozy and welcoming. I don't know what's hard to get about this, guys. Of course, there might be a little bit of drama that occurs throughout the entire game, but if there wasn't, the game would be boring as hell. It would just be a generic slice of life. But even still, with all this drama, it'll still resolve itself, right? So you're always going to get some sort of happy ending out of the deal. But in reality, there's a little bit of back and forth. You're going to get a little... It's not just a free ride. You're still going to have a little bit of choice. You still have to choose a little bit. The success in this game, too, is never measured. Like I said, you just go at your own pace. It's a romantic sandbox game. I literally just, like, throughout the entire game, like... I always like giving my name, the naming my characters the most disgusting names possible. I guess grotesque is the right word here. Because I forged a character named Cloroxia Blench. Cloroxia Blench is my favorite character. She has piercing blue eyes like Clorox Bleach. Unrelated. And presented her... And I kind of presented myself as like a tiny little goblin inside of her mind that was trying to pilot... Her brain. I was imagining happening anyway. She was full of snark and the game awarded me for it, so I'm happy with it, honestly. It was a great character. It deserved many Emmys, many Oscars. Loved it. On the scale, I think it would definitely fall. If we're talking about the alignment chart, top left corner. I think the top left corner perfectly fits this game. It's a perfect amount of cozy, perfect amount of, you know, carefree, cutesy attitude, and also gives you a lot of player agency, allows you to just kind of make your own choices, kind of go down the stream. Now, there's another game that I was thinking of covering, I think probably a year and a half ago, but I never covered. We're going to talk about Disco Elysium we're going to save that one for last, because I've already talked about it, so there won't be that much to talk about, to be honest. So, there's another... visual novel game that still takes place as a visual novel. However, this one is a competitive visual novel game. You can play up to four players. This game is called Monster Prom. Monster Prom. Basically, the idea of this game is the fact that take place in a monster high school of sorts, where there's six different dateable characters in this monster high school. Now, here is the little weird the contingency debate that people have about visual novels. Some people are puritans of the visual novel genre, which is why it's such a weird, fuzzy boundary that we have to keep on these specific games, right? Some people believe that a visual novel cannot have any other mechanics beyond just the story, which is interesting. Because player agency is a very key component about visual novels, right? You're allowed to make your own choices. You're allowed to shape your own character. But you can't show the player that for some reason. Even though, I have to say, it's most likely the fact that most of these visual novel games either got their base in either Dungeons & Dragons, go figure, or like the Choose Your Own Adventure books, if you know what I mean. Like the ones where they say to flip the chapter whatever to figure out if you die to the falling pit of doom or not. So, with Monster Prom specifically, there are stats that you can increase. Some include stuff like radness, and I think it's just called cool. There's coolness, there's flirtatiousness, there's creativity, stuff like that. Kind of weird, quirky things like that. And some people would have you believe that this game is just a dating game. In reality, it's much more than that. I think the visual novel genre has a lot of leniency and has it's a very, very big, wide net. So the idea with Monster Prom, then, is you can pick whatever character you want to try to woo. However, the idea is that you have to try to, every time you're posited into a situation with this romantic interest of yours, you have to choose between two separate options in a insane scenario, right? For example, there is one character that is called Zoe, and she is the, amalgamation of all the fear in the universe. However, she has become a more humanoid form and is kind of taken the form of a cutesy schoolgirl who just likes to write fanfiction, right? You can choose to try to romance this character, but you're going to be thrown into scenarios such as their cult, the Zoe's cult trying to summon her again, and even though she's over the blood sacrifices that they're trying to do, and you have to pick whether or not you want to try. You have to pick whether or not you try to woo her back with specifically saving the cult, or, you know, siding with her specifically. It's very interesting the way it does it. And the scenarios get crazier and crazier. Trust me. I can't even begin to comprehend or, like, explain to you how insane these things get, right? So on that tangent alone, I think it has a lot going for it beyond visual novel. However, this is still a visual novel game. This has a lot to do with player choice. This still has a lot to do with kind of like a not necessarily laid back atmosphere, but more so a cutesy game layered with competitiveness on top of it. So in my respects, I believe this specific game deserves the cutesy judgy category. So the bottom left. So it's in the same horizontal plane as Our Life. However, it is slight. It has that same cutesy aesthetic to it, right? All the characters are cartoonish. They have so much weird, stupidly fun like life to them that has so much charm in the writing specifically. But it still judges you if you screw up. There is definitely a win-loss state. You can be rejected. There's still a chance for you to just completely lose the game and have bereft nobody but yourself to blame for it, right? There's still a lot of more mechanics that I could get into too, right? There's like specific items that you can unlock secret endings with. That's why I feel like the visual novel experience has a little bit more leeway with it, right? Because it's not just about the stats and all that kind of stuff, even though that's the way you win the game. It's more of the idea of just trying to explore specifically what crazy scenarios they have come up with, and understanding that you're never gonna be able to predict this game. This game, the Monster Prom, is always gonna throw the wool over your eyes. You're never gonna get away from it. It's always gonna catch up with you in one way or another, right? So that's Monster Prom. I think that deserves the cute judgy category. And personally, I only played it two player. So if anyone wants to play Monster Prom with me, I would love maybe three or four people. That would be really cool, guys. Guys! Oh, I'm alone, aren't I? Oh, jeez. Shut up! Okay. Thank goodness. That cricket stopped chirping. I almost had it up to here with that cricket, honestly. Jafandru is an absolute beast, and I cannot toil with his semantics and his antics, honestly. His chirping shall not be tolerated in this show. Anyway, let's continue down the rabbit hole of visual novels. We're going to talk about the third game, right? But first, we need a quick break, because my throat is getting very sore. So, let's put up another song, you guys. You want another polka song? Nah, you guys are tired of polka at this point. I kind of berated you with it earlier, and I do apologize. I do deeply apologize. It's the only thing I've been listening to be fair. It's literally the only thing I've been listening to. So how about another Hades 2 song? How about that? What do we want? Titan of Time is pretty good. It's 8 minutes, though, so I'm probably going to cut it off halfway. However, you're going to get one of the best boss themes of all time. It's not the best boss theme. It is pretty good still. Titan of Time by Darren Korb. I hope you all enjoy. Well, I mean, look, here's the thing. I love specifically about that song, the ticking and the time. It's all about time, literally. You have to kill time. And also you get a little clock in the background to remind you of that. It's very cool. I like it a lot. It's a very neat soundtrack. It's not my favorite soundtrack, don't get me wrong. That goes to either Hollow Knight or some other cool game. But I think Darren Korb and his team just knock it out of the park every damn time. I need to play his other games too. There was, I think, Pyre, and then there's also Bastion. So I'm going to be possibly talking about those two if I can get to them in time. If I can chow down a little morsel of video games, perhaps, that'd be pretty cool. I love video games. Anyway, besides the point, I'm not going to really dwell on this one too long, but it's still on the list, so we got to talk about it. Because it's the perfect encapsulation of gritty and laid back. So what I mean by that is the Walking Dead Telltale series. Specifically with the way that it tells the game, right? When you're going through the motions of this game. Now here's the real kicker. Does this count as a visual novel game? Because it doesn't even have a text box at the bottom. It has full voice acting. The characters are animated. All it has really going for it is that it's telling a story, right? Does this count as a visual novel game? And you know what? Maybe it does. Maybe you just have to get off your high horse and accept that whatever game, as long as it's telling a story, is a visual novel. I said it. It's my hottest take I've ever had. And is that a bad thing? Don't think so. I'm going to stick to my guns. The Walking Dead is a visual novel game. Ladies and gents, let me explain myself real quick. I watched my friend play this for about maybe 2 hours, give or take. And what I've come to realize is that The Walking Dead specifically is a very well-told game. It's actually very, very cohesive. I like it a lot so far. Specifically in Act 1, right? It has a lot of sort of... It's that titular zombie series that everyone sort of liked back in... What was it? A while ago, and then no one talks about it anymore. I'm sorry, Kai. But it's true. I mean, at the same time, I'm sure there's a bunch of thirst traps on Instagram. What am I talking about? There's always the thirst traps on Instagram. And also, I think... Look, I'm gonna get to it eventually, but I still have so many things on my list. It just... It doesn't take precedence, but I think the Walking Dead video game series I can get behind because it feels like it's exactly the medium that it's supposed to be. You know what I'm saying? Like, obviously, like, you know, with the Witcher games, I feel like those kind of games, we have the book series that no one really talks about except the diehard fantasy heads like me personally. Then you have the movie, which everyone says it sucks. We have this TV series that everyone says sucks. And we have the video games, which people say are the best of all time. So you can see which medium it kind of fits in pretty well, right? Kai is saying that it's very that The Walking Dead's very good. I have to look. I can't say yes or no to that. I'm gonna be indifferent to that. I'm gonna say, I allow you to, Kai. You know what, Kai? You can do that if you want to, if you feel like it. If you feel like enjoying the things that you enjoy, that's up to you. Me personally, I don't watch TV, so I don't know what's. I just got the cable. I don't know where to put it. The cable guy hasn't come in. Hey, you know what? Maybe we should play more of it. I'm just saying, Kai. Just saying. Besides the point, I think we're going to definitely play this game way more often in the future. However, the small morsel that I played so far, and Kai, you can back me up on this. I feel like a lot of the story is told very well. It gives you that sort of gritty, dystopian atmosphere, not dystopian, but more so apocalyptic atmosphere, the world ending, yada yada, all that fun stuff. But the characters in of themselves don't really, I guess they kind of do judge you, but they will always judge you. So I guess it's kind of more on the fence in a way, you know what I'm saying? Like the game itself, the narration doesn't, the characters might get pissed at you, but the game itself does not get pissed at you. You know what I'm saying? Like it what I mean by the vertical axis, right, is not whether or not the characters get upset at you, right? Because obviously you need to have some conflict in order to make a good, fun, juicy story, right? Oh, guys, telling me that I don't even know what's going on. Oh, yeah. Look, I'm excited for playing more of The Walking Dead, right? But you have to realize that this game doesn't really give you a failure state. That is exactly what I mean by that, right? With the vertical axis, it doesn't matter whether or not you get you piss everyone off or you simply just live your life as normal, right? The idea is that can you fail and will the game laugh at you for failing, right? With The Walking Dead, at least how Kai described it to me, you can literally die and get respawned like 10 seconds before you died, right? The punishments aren't really that egregious. With Monster Prom, on the other hand, it has a little bit more bite to it, right? You obviously don't get the monster date of the vampire who is probably like 700 years old, all right? You don't get to date, like, the idea of judginess is basically, does the game take it away from you? Does it allow it to take away from you? Or can you live through the game? Can you live your actions through the game and live through it how you expect it to play out, right? That's what I mean by a laid-back game. And The Walking Dead fits that perfectly. It has a few addendums, don't get me wrong. We're kind of stretching the marker, and obviously it's not like at the top of laid-back on that specific vertical axis. But it's up there. It's not down for sure. It's not below the horizontal line for sure. It's above the horizontal line, I think, personally. The Walking Dead in its entirety, the video game specifically, has, from what I see, a lot of good character moments, right? You get specifically so, like, you can explore every nook and cranny of the world. You can talk to each specific character. You can pick your allegiances how you would like to. You get to make the choices. Obviously, it has a little bit more of a gamey element that you have to pick. Like, it gives you the choices, like in any Telltale game. You get to pick the choices, but you have a time limit. So you have to make sure you choose them quickly, or else you might pick the wrong thing, or not say anything at all, like I've done several times, because literally, the internet is so slow. It's so sad. I hope it gets fixed eventually. But besides the point, I think the Walking Dead has a fantastic. I think it's going off pretty well. I think it's going to be even better once I get really into it. I'm going to get past the first act. Trust me. Trust me. To all the Walking Dead fans out there, I do apologize for not playing the game fully. I do apologize. I'm not an expert on this game. I wish I had Kai here so she could explain it better. But besides the point, we'll get her on the show eventually. If enough of you pour your support, I'm sure she'll come on the show eventually. Nah, I'm just kidding. No pressure. No pressure. No pressure. All right. We're on to our final game, Disco Elysium. And I feel like The Walking Dead and Disco Elysium are the ones, even though they're both gritty games, I feel like they're also the ones that are the most stretched when it comes to saying whether or not it's a visual novel, right? Because we can obviously We can obviously... Oh, my mouse is upside down. What is happening? Why is the mouse... Why is the wire for the mouse going underneath the table? You don't do that! You can't do that! It's not polite. It's not polite at all. It's not polite. Okay. So, Disco Elysium, I think, is probably stretching the marker for visual novel the most. Not because of specifically what it entails, because it does have a lot of visual novel elements, but... A lot of it is an RPG, right? You are increasing your stats. You are getting stat points. You do increase, like, different things. There's a lot of game mechanics that are attached onto this. All these other games kind of have it on the side while the focus is on the strange, cool scenarios that you get yourself caught into and expressing yourself in these sort of scenarios. But at the same time, I think that it has enough elements to where Disco Elysium can be classified as a visual novel. However, we can always classify games as like a mashup of a bunch of different genres, right? For example, like Hades I'm playing right now, it has a bunch of elements from, you know, just roguelikes. There's, you know, different other elements as well that I'm not really... Hold on, hack and slash, that's what I'm talking about. Specifically hack and slash, like this sort of Diablo kind of gameplay, right? But there's also a bunch of other cool elements too. Like there's... basic sim build, like, what is it, base building elements, right, where you get to build up your armaments and make, like, the place that you respawn in look prettier and prettier, and also there's a bunch of other cool stuff, too, like, there's literally also, I should have put this on the list, too, to be fair, which I might actually do, it has a bit of visual novel elements to it, right? You are talking to different people, they do have dialogue, there is a dialogue box, and there's a bunch of different, you know, story beats that you have to go through, which it perfectly fits the visual novel genre. Don't you get it? Don't you understand? Sorry, I didn't mean to do that to you. You just had to learn, okay? You had to learn. You had to know. You had to know what would happen if you didn't, if you crossed me. You know, you don't cross me like that ever again, please. You know, don't you don't ever do that. You just never do that. So, Disco Elysium, right? There's a bunch of different elements that do indicate it to be a visual novel game. And also, I would argue that this game is perfectly made for the bottom right corner. Perfectly opposite to our life. And we've come full circle, right? Because I think with Disco Elysium specifically, the world itself is so gritty, so depressing, cynical, devoid of any sort of, like, you know, meaning, purpose, that you kind of just make your own, in a sense. But whenever you try to, the game will always make fun of you for it, specifically, right? Even when you're doing good, even when you have all your stats perfectly maxed out, if you say you're doing an intelligence build, and you have a lot of stats in, say, drama, right? The game will also try to make up stuff that didn't actually happen. Because you're so good at detecting lies that you start becoming paranoid of the world. Something that is completely opposite of what you wanted to do, right? It's such an interesting, juicy concept. And it completely takes... It gives you the player agency and then completely takes it away. You are still a drunk piece of crap. You don't belong in the police department, and yet you still exist as a sort of mockery of yourself, right? Your memories are wiped, you have no idea who you're supposed to be, and the game will give you no hints as to how to solve that. You have to do it yourself, and it'll do everything in its path to stop you from doing that. It's very, very masochistic in that respect, but in another respect, it gives it so much more meaning, right? Because with, like, for example, Our Life and stuff like that, you can have a visual novel that gives you perfect freedom of choice and all that kind of stuff, but you also have to make sure you have to be kind of grounded as well. You have to understand that you don't have freedom of choice in a lot of cases. You have to understand that even when you try to succeed, it'll always sometimes backfire, right? Sometimes you'll feel like that the world is against you. And in some games, it will, and it is, which is very funny. I think, though, there are other weird, like, mashups like Monster Prom and The Walking Dead that kind of walk those weird lines of cute, judgy, and gritty laid back, where cute, judgy is the idea of being a competitive game that it takes place in a sort of fun, carefree atmosphere, while The Walking Dead is a very cynical, depressive atmosphere, but allows you to make all the choices that you wish, right? Obviously, these games aren't a scale. They aren't like the complete epitome or the paragon of whatever they represent. But they're pretty damn good examples of what I mean by how visual novels are a completely fuzzy and indescribable boundary. You can basically say, as long as it has a story, you can basically, if it has dialogue, that's basically the crux of what a visual novel is. And whether or not you choose one of these specific genres, one of these specific places on my beautiful invention, the visual novel alignment chart, you can categorize any visual novel as such, and it will always work. Trust me. Try it yourself at home. Pick your favorite visual novel and put it in the visual novel alignment chart. I'm going to make a website for it. It's going to be great. That'd be actually pretty cool. If I could make like a website where like it'll like you can take player submit like feedback from people and you can like vote on whether or not a game is more brooding or, you know, fun and care going. If not as like a game aspect, at least it'd be cool as like a data collection aspect. I'm a nerd, alright? Gosh. I didn't expect you to judge me that hard. Come on. Please. Please, come on. I'm just a boy. I'm just a little guy. I'm 3 feet tall. Spiritually. Anyway. That is the end of today's show. I hope you guys had a fantastic time. We're talking specifically about visual novels. Isn't that cool? We're talking about an entire genre. And we'll be talking about a lot more genres in the future. However, we'll be also talking about real games too. Upcoming next week, we're going to be talking about Hades 2. And guess what? We'll have a special guest too. How exciting. Someone who is... I've known for at least 4 years, and also is very into the Hades games. So we'll have an expert on the field as well. Upcoming after that, of course, we have Silk Song coming up 2 weeks from now. I actually have to decide, I might have to move that to Friday. Besides the point, I'll let you guys know on my Instagram, Radio Laurier. You can find out some of the posts there if they share it, but also you can find me specifically on Independent Incidentals on Instagram. Follow me to follow the show. And if you want to make sure you get the appropriate updates to make sure you're not falling behind, FOMO's a real hazard. It causes at least all cases of depression. Take it from me, someone who has never taken a single science course, except for computer science. Well, I think that's the rest of our show. Oh, right, one more thing. You can, of course, follow the show on RadioLaurier.com, but also you can check out the show on a bunch of different other places too. We got it on Apple Podcasts and also Spotify. So if you're interested, please give all the other episodes a listen too, if you haven't already. They are absolutely fantastic, and there's going to be at least one that's going to be your favorite, trust me. Even if you hate all of them, there's going to be at least one that is going to be your favorite. And if you have watched all 20 of them and they all suck, then please let me know. I'll give you a sticker in the mail. You're welcome, and have a fantastic weekend. Bye-bye.